TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's raised by wolves.
Accident could have went, I would say, I had 5% a chance of making it out alive. I hit the 5% mark, and then I'll say 4% was to be seriously injured, and 1% was to be minorly injured, and I came out in the 1%, so it's not bad.
I mean, you really think that, I mean, is that semi-hit? I mean, you thought, you saw your life kind of flash before your eyes there?
Nah, it happened too quick. I didn't know what the hell hit me, so I was kind of, like, confused, but it was simple. I mean, we car in front of us stopped to react to an accident that just occurred in front of him. We stopped, and we stopped not hard, but, you know, gradually and a little more than gradual. But and then.
All right, that's Karl Anthony Towns talking to media earlier today at Shoot Around before the Wolves take on the Kings. And Danny, you were there?
Indeed, I was.
5%.
5%.
That's kind of scary.
It's pretty scary, I would say.
But it's a good thing he's okay.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been really bad.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But Cat's okay, and that's good. Do we know if he's going to play tonight against Sacramento?
That's the expectation. Okay. I mean, Ryan Saunders met with us prior to Cat meeting with us and said that Carl is expected to be available. So I would be pretty surprised if he's not in the lineup tonight.
It's funny. One of my write that downs on Friday for Mackie and Judd with Rami minus Phil and Judd and plus Manny was that Karl Anthony Towns was going to play against the Knicks and get a double-double.
Well, you were wrong.
Then, literally like 15 minutes later, the news broke that Cat was not going to play. So that was like
congrats
the quickest.
On being wrong.
Yeah, that was the quickest write that down failure of all time. But nonetheless, the Wolves split a couple games. Over the weekend, you were in Milwaukee, and you got a chance to take in that Wolves-Bucks game, and Ja Rule.
I got to take in Ja Rule, okay? That's what mattered the most.
How bad was it?
It was amazing.
Was it amazing?
It was amazing.
I heard there were problems, though.
It was amazing. It could not have gone better.
You are so lying.
It was amazing. Manny, I've never enjoyed a halftime show more.
Really?
Never. Never once have I enjoyed a halftime show more. Now we can debate
now,
the reasons
because,
why.
Okay, well, see, that's what I'm getting
I have
to.
Never enjoyed a halftime show more. I have the whole thing on video on my phone. The entire 7-minute set that Ja Rule played.
Okay, so what was amazing about it? Was it amazing because of the issues that go? Because what were the issues?
First like of all, he was wearing a Ray Allen Bucks jersey.
Yeah,
great
like
jersey.
The green one.
Green and purple. Great jersey.
Yeah, those are great.
So that was the first plus for Ja. So then he kind of calls for his music and the DJ wasn't ready or something. And like there was this pause and it was awkward. And I'm like, this is amazing. And then he starts playing and at one point like he drops an MF and like he was kind of unfiltered and it was just everything that I wanted it to be. And they go, it's 90s night and they brought in a 2000s rapper and it just could not have gone better. So I had actually found out that Ja Rule was performing there probably 2 weeks ago. I got a text from an employee of the Milwaukee Bucks and they let me know. They said this isn't don't report this as of right now. I don't think it's out there, but Ja Rule's going to be performing. Like, you can break the news a little bit closer to the game, but just know this is the plan. I'm like, all right.
Such a random place.
No
disrespect to Milwaukee, man. Milwaukee's a nice town. I've been there a couple of times, but
I enjoyed my time in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's just kind of a random spot for Ja Rule to just, like, pop up and do a halftime
Honestly,
show.
Name an NBA arena other than Atlanta where it wouldn't be a random spot for Ja Rule. Like, if you told me Ja Rule did halftime in Boston, I'd be like, why? You could say it about anywhere other than probably Atlanta.
Brooklyn? He's a New Yorker. It's Brooklyn.
I think that'd still be random. Like, because Atlanta is so embedded in just hip-hop culture.
Yes.
And Brooklyn,
yes,
to an extent, is too.
Yeah.
But I think that'd be random too. Like
halftime of a Nets game.
I think that the Nets are more likely to have a hologram of Biggie Smalls perform at halftime than Ja Rule. I think that's a more likely thing.
You're probably right.
I know.
You're probably right.
But it was amazing. And then about 5 minutes into what is supposed to be a 6 minute long set. And you can tell he's not wrapping up here. Like, he was not wrapping
not
up.
Not even close.
No. Like, he was about to start another song. I get a text from that game ops, from the employee of the Bucks, and said, I have no idea what's happening right now. And I texted back, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. It was amazing, Manny. Amazing.
I'm so jealous of you. And it's not even because... It's not even because, oh, gosh, I want to see Ja Rule, but it's just the fact that you could see something like that. And just...
Like, Coolio performed at a halftime here earlier this year on a throwback night, took a Cadillac from the visitor's tunnel, like, out to the hoop, and Ja Rule was better. Ja Rule was more entertaining. And then the best part, everyone made a big deal about Giannis warming up while Ja was still playing. But both full teams were on the court before Ja was finished. Like, both teams were shooting baskets with Ja still performing.
That's amazing.
It was incredible.
I have to look at the video that you took, too, now. That's amazing.
It's a three-part video.
Okay.
I have three videos, all right around 220, because I wanted to be able to tweet out all of them. Incredible.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm jealous. That's incredible. The product on the court, though, I mean,
also incredible. Did you see Anthony Tolliver's block?
That was amazing.
I'm sorry, Giannis can't win MVP now. Those are the rules.
Giannis can't win MVP if you're blocked by Anthony Tolliver.
Not just blocked, met at the summit.
Yes,
like Anthony Tolliver got up there, because even Giannis said after the game, he went back and watched it already before he met with the media, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I thought on the floor maybe I didn't get high enough or something. And then I watched replay. I was like, no, I got high enough.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
He did everything right. It's just Anthony Tolliver stepped in and made a fantastic, unbelievable play.
Like, I was sitting next to Dane Moore, and we can ask him about this tomorrow. And he was sitting next to me in the media area. And as it happens, like, he hits my arm and goes, oh, my God, oh, my God. Like, it was incredible.
Wow.
I've never seen a play. Okay, that's a lie. I've never seen a play from Anthony Tolliver quite that amazing.
Okay, but from and I don't know where you guys were sitting, so I don't know how you guys would have seen it, like, from your
We were on the
point.
Far Okay, so you know where the media sits in Target Center?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, but a section higher.
Okay.
So it's not good
seating.
So you're
like further back and further up, and that sort of
thing. And it was the far hoop from us.
Okay.
So
was it one of those things that when you saw it live, you, like, weren't exactly sure what happened and needed to see the replay of it? Or because on TV, it looked like I knew exactly what happened. But
we could tell what happened, but because of the two players involved, we didn't believe what happened until we saw a replay. Like, we saw it live, and you're like, oh, my God.
Right.
And then you're like, no. No.
I need to see a replay.
And then we saw a replay, and I'm like, oh, my God. I watched that replay like 12 times.
It was.
While the game was going on.
That's like one of the plays of the year. Like, if you.
That is the defensive play of Anthony Tolliver's life.
Yes. That's incredible. But, I mean, that block was great. The Wolves bench was
really good. Their bench was awesome. The starters were terrible. But the bench was awesome.
And that's something that is really interesting, because during the entire Tibbs era and even into this Ryan Saunders era with all the injuries and everything, the bench has, for the most part, been kind of non-existent. But the last few games, they've really stepped it up in roles that some of these guys didn't even really anticipate having.
Well, I mean, Cato Bates-Diop, he's not like he didn't blow anyone away, but Cato looked like he belonged on an NBA floor, and for a second-round draft pick in your rookie year, that's viewed as a developmental guy. That's a big deal. Like, it was his first meaningful game action the past two games, both in New York and against the Bucks in Milwaukee, and he looked like he belonged. He didn't look out of place. Now, he wasn't dominating or anything, but he did enough to look fine. Luol Deng's been very good while he's been able to play. And these guys could not get on the floor when Tibbs was the head coach. Couldn't get on the floor.
Couldn't even sniff
the
floor at all.
Neither of them played, ever. And they contributed. Now, granted, it was a loss, but still, they did positive things. They did plenty of positive things. And Luol's been doing that since Saunders took over. Luol's been great.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And with Cada, what do you envision him being, or what do you think he can be? And, you know, we need to see more, and we need to get a little bit more of a sample size of him. But what do you think the idea of him, I guess, should be?
I think his ceiling is probably the seventh guy on a playoff team. He can probably be in his peak, he can, or his prime, or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. He can probably be the seventh best player on a playoff team. So he can give you minutes. He's not going to go out and he's not going to be a star. He's never going to score 20 a night, but he can be a serviceable role player on a team that makes the playoffs in the Western Conference. That's what I see Cada's ceiling. As a second round pick, that's a very good thing.
Absolutely.
That's a win.
But what does he do really well that you can look at and say, okay, that is really going to help somebody, and that's going to be like his calling card or his bread and butter for a long time?
You don't
know.
It's too early to say that he does anything in the NBA really well.
Mm-hmm.
But the hope is that he can do enough things well enough to fit on the court. He's not going to be someone he's never going to be a lethal spot-up shooter off the bench, but he can be someone that can do a lot of things that you need a big guy to do off the bench. And I think they'd like him to put on a little bit of weight too, get a bulk up a little bit, and maybe have a little bit of that Taj Gibson role next year if Taj is gone.
So he's like a power forward, you think?
I think the best way to put him is as a front court player, because I think he can do some things that a three can do. He can do some things that a four can do. The five's a little bit tough, but he's kind of a tweener there. I think that calling him a front court player is probably appropriate.
I didn't get no complaints from me on that. If that's what he is, and like you said, as a second round pick, then I mean I think that's about what you can ask for. And if he turns into something,
I think he's a 3-4. He's a tweener between
three and four guy. Yeah.
So I think front court player works best, and he definitely has things to work on, but he can do something for the Wolves at some point.
How did this team look without Cat? I mean, he's the best player, and this is not to suggest at all that they don't need him or anything, because they played okay in two games without him. But overall, considering that he was out the last two games, how did they look overall as a unit? We talked about the starters being terrible on Saturday and everything, but what do you think?
Not great. I mean, the starters looked like crap against the Bucks. There's no other way to put that. They just did not look good. Against the Knicks, they looked better, but it's the Knicks, man. Although, shout out to them.
I know.
They got a home win last night. First one since December 1st. Beat the Spurs.
And Spike Lee wasn't even thrilled about it. Like, during the Oscars last night,
I saw that Jackson
was like, the Knicks won last night, and they showed Spike, and he's just like, no, we're trying to tank.
We're tanking.
We're tanking.
That's going to be the gif used around NBA Twitter circles for bad teams. Like, how many Cavs fans do you think are tweeting that out right now?
Yeah.
We're tanking.
Yeah.
All the Bulls fans.
Yeah. Shout out to the Knicks, though, getting the win at home against the Spurs. Their last two home wins were against the Bucks and the Spurs.
Yeah. I think it was Dennis Smith Jr. threw a transition oop off the backboard in the last minute of that game. I was like, you know what? You guys deserve that. Because once I got back from Milwaukee, I watched probably the final 4 or 5 minutes of that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him, I think he threw it to Mitchell Robinson. And I'm like, you know what? You guys, you're up 12 with a minute left, but you deserve this. Go ahead. Do it. You've earned this one.
Good for Dennis Smith Jr. too, man. I love that kid. I'm rooting for him. I don't know if, you know, depending on what the Knicks do in the offseason, I don't know if he's going to be like the long-term answer there, but I'm rooting for that kid, man. I like him a lot.
I mean, he's on a rookie contract. He'll be around there. I'd be surprised if he's elsewhere.
Yeah, but I'm rooting for him.
I like him a lot too.
Sacramento Kings tonight. Playoff team, kind of, or at least aspiring to be a playoff team.
Trying
right now
to be a playoff team.
Can they be?
They can be. I don't know if they will be. I can't bet against LeBron in the race for that 8 seed, which is wild to say. Like, LeBron 8 seed race, crazy. but I can't bet against LeBron right now. Although I do like the Kings a lot. I think that if it's not the Lakers, it will be the Kings. I'm just not a believer in what the Clippers have right now. But, yeah.
Do you take anything? What do you make of the Rockets taking care of the Warriors? Not suggesting that the Rockets are going to beat the Warriors. I don't think anybody's going to beat the Warriors. But with where the Rockets are at, are they at least maybe the biggest threat to Oklahoma's, or to
State it might be the other one that you just tried
Oklahoma
to say.
City?
Yeah. That's because Paul George is playing at another level. He's been one of the best three players in basketball this year. Defensively, he can do things that really will bother Golden State. And at the end of the day, the Warriors are going to win. Like, the Warriors are going to win the finals at the end of the day.
It's inevitable.
Yes, Golden State wins. That's how it goes. If you have five All-Stars in the lineup, that's what's going to happen. But I think that, one, with how good Paul George is, and two, with the animosity between Russ and KD, if there's something that can get the Warriors out of their game,
could make for
it
some
might
good
be
theater.
That. Yes, exactly. It might be it might be the whole Kevin Durant versus Russ storyline that becomes exhausting for the Warriors, and just how good Paul George is, because Paul George has turned into 2016 Kevin Durant. Paul George right now is exactly what Kevin Durant was his final year in OKC. He's that good.
Would be fun to watch, at least. I mean,
I would sign up for that series. Give me seven games of that.
Would it go seven, you think?
No, but, like, you know what I mean. I think it'd go six.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I think the Thunder could squeeze two wins out.
One on the road?
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I mean, Oracle's a tough place to win.
I know.
Oracle's a tough place to win.
It has kind of become, like, the new sort of, I guess, Boston Garden, so to speak.
Which,
that,
like, and
place
if you,
where,
well,
with all
and
the
now it's their last
and,
season there, too.
Yeah.
Which, like, if you think
building.
If you think back to 2016, it makes the Warriors coming back from down 3-1 against the Thunder really not that impressive, because having to win in Oracle is so difficult. Like, having to do it two times in a series is ridiculous, which the Thunder would have had to do, or would have had to win one of five or seven after they already won. I think it was game two they won against the Warriors. And then it makes the Cavs winning both games 5 and 7 in Oakland that much more impressive, because that building is just unreal. It's so, especially in the playoffs, that crowd goes crazy. Especially when Steph starts lighting up, it's the hardest place in basketball right now.
How is the arena in Milwaukee?
It's really nice, but it's new. Like, of course it's nice. I don't know. It's like the first of these really new arenas, and I don't like where the media is. I think that there are many problems. And the way I judge an arena is selfishly. Like, I don't care if the fans have a good experience. I want to have a good experience. And it's just, eh, for media. For fans, I'm sure it's great. I don't know. I really don't care. but for me, it was eh.
I love how you just don't give a damn about what
I'm saying. I'm selfish. I go to more games than them.
That's true.
Yeah.
You do. That's very fair.
Yeah, so the food was okay. I think we had chicken parm and pasta.
That's not bad.
I didn't have a snack because I watched Ja Rule, so I missed out on the snack. But it looked like they had nachos and hot dogs. They do take care of the media, because, like, the media food there is free, and it's not that way in all arenas.
Right.
Not all NBA arenas have free media food, but the Bucks do. They do, and they typically have good food. It was okay. But, I mean, I spent time there last year. Obviously, I covered the team, and I actually covered them opening night this year against the Pacers. It was okay food-wise. The media room's nice, but, like, the media seating is kind of crappy. It's too cramped. It's small. It's just, it could be better.
How much of an upgrade, though, is it over
Bradley
Center?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, this Pfizer Forum is light years ahead of Bradley Center. Bradley Center was so dumpy, man.
I've been to Milwaukee twice. I'd never stepped foot in the Bradley Center ever, but everybody tells me I'm lucky that I never stepped foot in the Bradley Center.
Like, think about if Target Center were built 10 years earlier.
Well, Target Center
never
was
really
built
in
1990.
Renovated. Yeah, Bradley Center was, I think, 1980.
Oof.
I don't know if it was quite that old, but and the thing about Bradley Center is that Bradley Center was built to house a hockey team. It was not built to be a basketball arena. It was built to be a hockey arena because the city of Milwaukee wanted a hockey team. So that's why. And actually, so Bradley Center opened in 88. I don't know how many renovations they had, but it was Target Center is definitely nicer than Bradley Center was.
That's what I've
way nicer.
I've heard a couple of people tell me just how awful a place Bradley Center
it
is
was,
or was.
It was terrible. so bad.
What do you got coming up this week, written-wise, for ScoreNorth.com?
I think I'll be doing a like another good, bad, ugly thing. I think I'm going to try and do that on Wednesday or Thursday, depending on how my schedule shakes out. And then that's what I've got planned right now. I have to see how things go tonight, and I'll write based off that. But yeah, not really anything crazy at the moment, but hopefully some cool stuff in the future.
All right, that's Danny Cunningham. Follow him on Twitter at RealDCunningham if you have not already. Be sure to check out all of his good stuff on ScoreNorth.com. Follow me on Twitter at MannyHill84. Dane's going to join us for tomorrow's pod, so be sure to look out for that and check out his More on Monday piece for ScoreNorth.com as well. Thanks for listening to Raised by Wolves, and we'll talk to you next time.